Dr. Anna Michalcia, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you so much for having me.
You told me a moment ago where your surname comes from, but now that we are recording, I'd like you to tell me again.
Oh, you mean the name? My parents were from Romania, and they immigrated from communist Romania to Germany, and so I still have that original name. It's very interesting now that we're fighting communism and fascism in the world. A nice reminder of the history of my parents.
Have you been to Romania?
Yes, absolutely, I have. And many years ago, right after the revolution, my uncle was a general in the army and eventually was involved in overthrowing the dictator Ceausescu.
Is it a beautiful country?
It is a beautiful country, but it's been through many, many years of communism. And after the fall of communism, you know, many of the corrupt individuals stayed in power. And so it's but I believe that it has helped, that history has helped the Romanians to not fall for the COVID narrative so much because, you know, trust the government, that isn't in a Romanian's blood.
Mm. I liked how you called it the COVID narrative. That is very much what it is.
Yes, absolutely. It is a multiverse narrative that has many, many levels of, you know, psychological operation. It is a military operation. We know that there's a transhumanist agenda that has been planned for decades that really is all about enslaving humanity. And when you look at it from that perspective, which is my perspective, you know, nothing that you see in mainstream media makes sense.
No, it doesn't. Did you catch on quite quickly back in 2020?
Well, I had some moments of awakening in regards to this because I was introduced to a doctor who, Dr. David Nixon, who looked at the Pfizer vials with me. And so when I saw the self-assembling nanotechnology in that, well, everything just changed. The virus flew out the window and the, you know, mRNA and a lot of this stuff. And so then I really started researching of where is this coming from. And so for the last couple of years, I've been discussing these findings in the human blood and this phenomenon of shedding, because now it is affecting everyone, not just the vaccinated.
Well, you've got a few slides to show me, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. Let me just discuss a little bit the background, because what's going on with the WF is really important, and we need to pay attention to what they're telling us. And what Klaus Schwab was saying is that the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. And if we really want to understand how that is being reset, then we also have to look at the connections between the WF, the WHO, and the United Nations. And my field of research, which is self-assembling nanotechnology, actually fits right into their narrative and into their agenda, because 13 out of 17 sustainable development goals, which they want to reimagine the world with by 2030, actually require nanotechnology and is an essential part of it. And so what Klaus Schwab also said was he talked about these technologies that will operate within our own biology and change how we interface with the world. Smart dust, arrays of full computers with antennas, each much smaller than a grain of sand, can now organize themselves inside the body. And this is exactly what I have been seeing in the blood. And he also said that the interplay between fields like nanotechnology, brain research, which is the brain-computer interface, 3D printing, the ability of nanotechnology to actually print organ system and cellular structures within our body, mobile network, which is 5G, the wireless antenna and the interbody area network, which is all related to this, and computing, including artificial intelligence, quantum computing, because the data that is being hijacked of all of these people around the world will be processed through artificial intelligence, will create realities that were previously unthinkable. And then also that the fourth industrial revolution, which all of this Agenda 2030 is, will affect the very essence of our human experience. And I want to remind people that Yuval Noah Harari, who is one of the spokespeople for the WEF, also discussed that the soul and the spirit will be a thing of the past. And so that is very, very important that every level of existence is under assault here. And
yeah, he said that humans are going to be hackable.
Absolutely, and they already are, and that surveillance will be under the skin. And this is exactly what I found. And here is what is also important. So the strategic intelligence briefing of the World Economic Forum puts vaccination in the center of their strategies. And so in the center is vaccination, and digital economy is dependent on that. Air travel and aviation, digital identity, cybersecurity, global governments, the future of health and healthcare, and cryptocurrency. So how is it that vaccination is the center of their entire transformation of humanity? Well, this is where we go into the studies on the Internet of Bodies. So there is a society of engineers called the IEEE, and they have been working for over 20 years of the intra-body area network, biological nanosensors that can be deployed in the human body, and they send the information of the human body to some external computer, ultimately into the cloud, and they're producing a digital twin to build the metaverse. What is that? It is what the transhumanist Satanists actually want to create, an artificial world in which we can upload ourselves and again, quantum AI can create many versions of ourselves, and it can actually download information into us as well. So it turns out that the vaccinated were emitting a MAC address phenomena. MAC address stood for major access control, and it is an address for a machine. And it turns out that wireless intrabody area networks, their protocols are based on MAC addresses. So it's also been shown, for example, that the coronavirus was really a misuse of the wireless sensor network. So there were engineers, and this was published in a peer-reviewed journal, American Journal of Bioinformatics Research, who said that the coronavirus symptoms were brought about by the hacking of the wireless interbody area network through your cell phone. So you're standing via GPS in your bathroom and somebody's sending a signal via your retina and they can give you COVID through the computer. And so this is the study illustrates that the individuals suffer from sensor disease due to reflecting of wavered sensors at open eye sites and high-speed electromagnetic radio tracking system. So again, that occurs through the 5G system. Now we get a little bit to what we actually found. So there are 26 teams worldwide who looked at the vials of the COVID-19 shots, and that was forbidden in many countries because it was a military operation, and these are classified as military weapons, including the United States. So what was very interesting is that mass spectroscopy by many analysts did not find mRNA. Because it didn't find phosphorus and nitrogen. So, for example, Daniel Nagas, Steve Kirsch, Dr. Janina Hagima from Romania, the European Medicine Commission, none of them found mRNA. They did find, however, many metals, cesium, barium, cobalt, iron, chromium, titanium, cerium, gadolinium, aluminum, tellurium, antimony. And if you look at what these metals are being used for, well, they can build biosensors. In addition to polymers, so you have a semiconducting metal in the center, and you're creating these quantum dot nanorobots that I have actually filmed in human blood. And they found large structures that were self-assembling, and they looked like filament or blobs. And around the world, these have been initially captured in vaccinated blood and now in unvaccinated blood.
You say in unvaccinated blood?
Yes. Because the Pfizer documents clearly show that they were aware of shedding, a process called shedding, and they have shown that a man who inhales the air around a woman who is vaccinated can then transmit that vaccination status to another unvaccinated woman. So inhalation alone, this is an airborne self-spreading vaccine. It's a biological and technological weapon of mass destruction, actually. And so this is how this happened. And we have found that basically being in the proximity of vaccinated individuals will transfer these types of filamental structures into the blood of people.
And is there a buffer against that?
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit in regards to the detoxification later. But Mark Steele, he's a weapons expert from the UK, who talks about that the metals are radar reflectives and that they are used for facial recognition, LIDAR, radar, and for forcing directed energy weapons. And so there are reflectors of electromagnetic waves and allow for an increased detection from battlefield interrogation. And the metal shapes in polymers, which is the lipid nanoparticle technology that the vaccines were delivered in, can be used for their electrical properties to deflect and absorb for radar systems. The other thing that's very important is that all vaccines have been shown to have numerous undisclosed metals. This is a study published by world-renowned nanopathologist Dr. Antoinette Gatti, and she has looked at 44 childhood vaccines, all of which have these metals in them, including, you know, aluminum, titanium, many other metals that you see here. And the reason is for exactly that purpose. It was said that in 2008, the middle tier was already able to see who was vaccinated and who wasn't just by the metal content in their body. And this COVID-19 injection is not the starting point of the transhumanist agenda. For 30 years, humanity has been sprayed via geoengineering with this technology called Morgellons, or Clifford Cronican calls it cross-domain bacteria, and they have significant parallels. So the Morgellons also were an advanced nanotechnology, and polyvinyl alcohol polymers were found, which are plastics, as well as polyethylene glycols, which is the same stuff that's in the shots. Quantum dot technology, which is a biological sensor, was in there. Semiconductive metals were in there. Self-assembly was noted. These are nanotechnology and biosensors, particularly for DNA. And so I've been speaking for 2 years now about this parallel of what we are seeing. And here you see an environmental filament project. This was Morgellons fibers that were sprayed via geoengineering from the sky, and you can see all of these metals that are part of it. And people inhale this, and then many people are getting symptoms where these filaments come out of their skin. It was called by doctors who didn't know anything, delusional parasitosis. But this has really been the building blocks of the infrastructure of this transhumanist agenda now for 30 years. This right here is the first time I looked at a Pfizer vial and with Dr. David Nixon. And what you can see in the background are all of these blinking lights. So these are biosensors. And they are building this metallic-like object. This is not Brownian motion. You can see how they're blinking from red to yellow. And this particular aspect I have also seen in the human blood, which is why this is so important to show. And I just want want to kind of show here that literally these little metallic objects, they are intelligently building what looks like, I call it the alien space station, but it is a microchip-like metallic object. Then what we did, so Dr. David Nixon dried a drop of the Pfizer vaccine, and you can see here microchips that developed, and these are optical communication cables. It is important to note that we collaborated with nanotechnology engineers, electrical technology engineers, and they all confirmed that these are microchips. The doctors were up in arms about it, but you cannot argue with this.
So that was in a vial?
This was a drop in the vial. So initially we would see those little tiny blinking lights. And if you leave it to dry, it would develop these microchips. And people around the world have found this. And so this is the dried form of the COVID-19 injection Pfizer. Yes.
Sure.
So you see now the same filaments were initially in vaccinated blood, then in unvaccinated blood. And you can see here that this is not like some dust particle, but that the body here, white blood cells, they're trying to eat this thing up. So this is something that's been in the blood for quite some time. My breakthrough in this research came when I started collaborating with Richard Hirschman, one of the embalmers who found the rubbery clots in deceased people. And he sent me blood that was embalmed of somebody who was dead for 8 months and who had died from these rubbery clots, from these shots. And what you see is that the same filaments are in this embalmed blood. And then what I saw is this. That within the dead blood, the technology continued to self-assemble. So what you see here is those little circular structures, and they have these micro-robot in there. They're emitting light, just like what I saw originally in the Pfizer vials, and it continues to grow over time. This is consistent with the observation that the deceased continued to emit MAC addresses from their grave, meaning the technology continues to be active and self-assemble.
For how long would that...
Forever.
Would that technology be self-assembling?
Forever. Because basically, you can see that interbody area network biosensors are able to utilize, light, EMF radiation, magnetic fields, and all kinds of other fields as an energy source. So they hijacked our electricity. Here's a 4,000 times magnification of what I just showed you. This is a red blood cell, which is about 5 to 7 microns. So these little blinking lights, these biosensors, they're around 500 nanometers here. And what you can see is that they're clearly mobile, even though the individual has been dead for 8 months. And so then what happened was, this is an unvaccinated individual, and I observed the same thing. You can see these are micellar structures. You can see the robots in there, and then they hijack the electricity from the surrounding blood, which looks in high distress, and then they will form filamental structures that looks exactly like this. So these things, they build these hydrogel structures, and you can see here, this is unvaccinated blood, and these are bio-nanosensors. So nothing in the blood is supposed to blink blue or red. And these are little computers that send people's information to the cloud, as well as build these filamental structures. Okay, this is not natural. And if you look at quantum dot technology, that's exactly what it does. It starts blinking all over. Here you see also an unvaccinated individual from shedding, and all of these little dots are biosensors, and they swarm exactly like what Klaus Schwab said before, nanosensors that swarm inside of the body, and they hijack the electricity from the blood. Again, you see green, yellow, orange blinking lights, and these are little tiny computers with an antenna. The antenna is a metal inside of them. So these are not bacteria, because bacteria don't act like this. And so this eventually then takes out all of the life force from the red blood cells, and it would create the rubbery clots. And we have proven that in our research. So how did we prove that? Number one, this is the blood of a vaccinated individual, and we drew four vials of blood. And what you see, we just left it sit for 4 hours, and what you see is that there is rubber that developed right here. This isn't supposed to be there. You're supposed to have blood here and just serum on top. And then we analyzed this, and guess what? So this clot up here is pure rubber. In fact, if we try to like pull it apart, and it doesn't pull apart. That is not normal. Nothing in the blood is supposed to do this. I was sent these clots, and I analyzed them under the microscope, and I found nanotechnology. These blue filaments are self-assembling nanotechnology. And then we also looked at the blood from the people who died with these clots. We got them from Richard Hirschman. And then we also looked at, compared it with clots of living vaccine-injured people and the unvaccinated. And it turns out it's all the same stuff via shedding. And so first you see this rubber-like material, no clot supposed to be like this. And we actually did near infrared spectroscopy, and it's a form of chemical identification. And what we found were these alkenes and polyenes, which is polyethylenes, which is a polymer plastic or polyethylene glycol. And then these primary amines or polyamides. So what's that? Nylon, Kevlar, or spider silk. And vinyl is polyvinyl alcohol. That's plastic. That isn't supposed to be in the blood. And guess what? We then tried to dissolve these rubbery clots, and we used stuff like sulfuric acid, lye, acetone, toluene, alcohol, stripper, petrol, DEET, fuel injector cleaner, and the most caustic agents you can imagine. You cannot dissolve these clots. So then what I started seeing is, this is an unvaccinated individual who went and got an IV infusion and this type of extracorporeal hemodialysis with ozone. And it turns out that the person had the exact same filaments or rubbery clots. And this is actually coming out from her. This isn't supposed to be normal. You are not supposed to have rubber in your blood. And so this was shedding to the unvaccinated. Here's the same test I did before. Unvaccinated blood, you see this large rubbery clot. But then I looked at the Moderna patents, and it says you can stop the proliferation of these hydrogel polymers with a molecule called EDTA, which also pulls out metals, and vitamin C in conjunction. So look at here. Unvaccinated, untreated blood does create this rubbery-like material. If you put it with EDTA, it doesn't create it. And high-dose vitamin C also doesn't create it. So you see this: the vaxxed individuals have the exact same rubbery clot as do the unvaccinated are exactly the same as the vaccinated at this point. Here is what we pull out. So I'm a certified chelation practitioner. I use this EDTA. So in one IV, 1,500 milligrams, this is what I can pull out of a person. And you see aluminum and barium and cesium and lead and uranium and all of these metals that I remember used, number one, to build the semiconducting biosensors, as well as to use it for facial recognition surveillance technology from satellites, as well as it inhibits the proliferation of the clots, the hydrogels. It inhibits that, and that's in the patents. So I've used this to help people. This is an individual who came to my clinic from shedding. You see that the blood looks completely vaccinated with this plastic. The blood is in distress. The red blood cells have these spikes. That's not the spike protein, which we know via Karen Kingston's work that the spike proteins are just devices with quantum dot technology, but that literally that the blood has been hijacked, its life force or its electricity. So then I give three IVs in a row, one of EDTA, the next day high-dose vitamin C, the next day EDTA, and you see that the blood is completely normal. This is the same individual I just showed you, and this would be normal blood. And so these molecules clean the blood, and that's how I've been working with them. And you can also take them orally. Here is another huge find of mine. Methylene blue is an anti-aging molecule that's been used for a long, long time. It's also been used in, it's an ultraviolet blue dye and staining methods, etc. But what I found was that this was an individual who was unvaccinated and they were still making these rubbery clots. And then I inserted some methylene blue into the vial and you see that that rubber didn't quite develop. Well, then I had the same person take methylene blue orally and had him come back in a month later and you see that the rubber doesn't develop. And in the literature, scientific literature clearly discusses that methylene blue actually binds to these hydrogels, and I've done many other experiments on my Substack, and people can find my research there. I've wrote over 600 articles on these subjects and my findings. So I'm going to stop sharing here. This is an overview of my research and hopefully, kind of explain it to some people. And you were asking me about 5G. So 5G is clearly involved in this technology because when Dr. David Nixon did experiments where he put a Faraday cage above his microscope, the microchips dissolved. But they are quantum infolding and unfolding. So if you take the Faraday cage off, they will reassemble. And that's consistent with the literature as well.
So does 5G fall under the category of EMF?
Absolutely. So, and it doesn't really matter if it's 3G, 4G, or 5G. All of it will interact with these biosensors. It's just that 5G and then eventually 6G, which will shred the DNA of natural humans, meaning only cyborg would be able to actually handle that transition. It has just a higher bandwidth to be able to give the information of every biochemical reaction that's happening in our body and send it to the cloud to our digital twin.
What about animals?
I believe that animals are also affected. And how do I know this? For example, on my Substack, I posted the live blood analysis of a squirrel that a hunter did. And they have exactly the same stuff in there. How can they? Well, because they're being sprayed with these polymers. So the geoengineering operations are part of putting this technology in our food supply, et cetera. I looked at meat from the meat market, organic and non-organic, and these filaments are in there. I looked at milk products. People have looked at rainwater for a long time, and they've shown these filaments in there. So it's everywhere, basically. And so what we can do is to endeavor as best as we can to keep our bodies clean as best as we can with as clean nutrition, preferably self-grown in a greenhouse, and drink clean water. For example, in bottled water, they've found now 250,000 plastic nanoparticle per liter. And there were medical studies that have shown, for example, of people who got a coronary artery bypass graft, they did biopsies of the heart muscle and the pericardium and the fat around it, and it had like 15 different plastics in it, meaning that these plastics are already fusing with our organ system, with everything. So it's everywhere.
So drinking water out of glass is better than drinking water out of plastic.
Well, it's all about where is the water coming from? Because, if you have a well and you actually have clean water, that's fine. But you have to understand that there's a depopulation effort going on. And these people want to reduce the world population to 500 million. They want to kill 7 billion people. Well, how are they going to do it? They're going to poison the food. They're going to poison the water. They're going to poison the air that we breathe. And they're going to introduce these injections that can, you know, work together with this 5G EMF. I believe, for example, in South Korea, where 400 people all of a sudden died at a Halloween festival of cardiac arrest, that was a 5G. So if you now have this technology in your system, they can just push a button, send a signal, and bam, induce cardiac arrest. Absolutely, this can be done.
So if I'm following correctly, what you're saying is that using electromagnetic radiation EMF, they can make people not only very sick, but they can control people.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that we found in terms of the difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated blood, this was the work of Clifford Carnicum and I. So we found that vaccinated blood is extremely sensitive to 4 hertz, extremely low frequency. That is a frequency that's being emitted by HARP, High Active Auroral Research Project, which is used to manipulate the ionosphere, but also to mind control people. It's able to modify DNA and cause illnesses. So this 4 hertz activity is an activity of the subconscious mind. It is usually found in deep sleep. And one of my colleagues, Dr. Len Baer, I'm on the advisory board for Targeted Justice, and he's a targeted individual who also got the shot, but he had a functional MRI scan done that in the waking state shows a significant 4 hertz activity in his corpus callosum, in his limbic system, in the waking state. I mean, this shows you that clearly this technology is already present, and that can also explain much of why the world is so lethargic about, you know, there are more people who've died so far than in 2 world wars, and people are just like going along with the narrative still. Well, it's because their brain is being, absolutely used for mind control.
On your Substack, you referenced a document, a U.S. defense document from 1976.
Yes. I mean, I reference a lot of different documents because the military is who really planned this. And so, for example, there are defense documents like Cyborg 2050, who discussed clearly and openly that's the healthcare system that will make the public used to the fact that we will be cyborgs, by inserting a pacemaker or, monitoring glucose. And then it takes it further, because it would be nice, to make a quadriplegic person walk again. But the ultimate idea of, Elon Musk just now went through with inserting a brain chip, that wasn't the first brain chip. Dr. Hildegard Steininger, 2011, clearly they analyzed a meningioma for advanced nanoparticles and showed that this was a brain chip then. It was made out of graphite, and it was utilized then. And the targeted individuals that are being attacked by government agencies and literally tracked, that was the beta testing for the whole world global one world order, to be able to have everybody hooked up to this technology, and then obviously the dissidents could be gotten rid of, just like in China.
So if we just come back to ground level, what health risks or health effects are connected to EMF?
It depends on what the EMF also interacts with, right? So EMF in itself, we know, has very harmful findings. So, for example, we know the increased risks of cancer, et cetera, even though that the medical aspect of this is being downplayed. But we are bioelectric individuals, human beings, so anything that is changing the electromagnetics of our body can also modify us. Now, if you have this technology in your blood that actually acts like an antenna, then exactly what I showed you in the study, you can send a signal via 5G or use the 5G tower as directed energy weapons and attack somebody, make them sick. What Todd Callender has found, for example, is that if they pull 60 gigahertz for like a minute, the sequences of Ebola and Marburg that are in the vaccine vials can be activated, and you can get outbreaks of hemorrhagic fevers. You know, so the Marburg pandemic has been declared 2 years ago in the United States without even there being a case. So they're already preparing for it. Well, how are they going to do it? So according to Mr. Callender, the technology in itself can be activated via frequencies.
So what you're saying is that the radio waves around us have been weaponized.
Absolutely. And for example, there was a gentleman by the name of Igor Smirnov who worked for Russia, and he was the head of the psychotronic warfare center. And in 1993, he was approached by the FBI, and he said, it's like, look, you can create any type of Satan from any nation who has enough money, because any information wave, be that a radio wave, be that an EMF wave, you can pack on an information that can subliminally change the human being and the human brain, and hence can mind control it and have adverse health effects to the body, you know, if you're getting an adverse signal. And this was, you know, decades ago. They've known about this stuff for a long time. You know, nanotechnology was starting to be developed in the 1970s.
It's interesting, isn't it, that there is so much propaganda around us that it would sound bonkers, but it isn't.
Well, I think that the reason why it's not bonkers is that if you look at the agenda of the World Economic Forum, the Agenda 2030, what I started with, the way I looked at it was very systematic. If Yuval Harari says we're hackable animals and the soul and the spirit are a thing of the past, well, what is the technological platform to make that possible? How would you reset everything about our existence? And then you look at the engineering literature, the nanotechnology literature, and the military literature, and they tell you exactly, here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know, have these nano-swarming bots in you, and we're going to change everything about you being human, and we're going to create cyborgs, you know, automatons, according to Yuval Harari, that will be mindless consumers. That's how that works, and that's all I did. I reverse engineered what they said, and I found it in the blood.
Yeah, he calls it the useless eaters.
Absolutely, absolutely. So at some point, people need to understand that psychological warfare has been utilized, that we are right now in World War III. We're in the largest depopulation effort ever seen on planet Earth, and that we're fighting for the survival of our species. And you just have to open your eyes. What did these people tell us in Aldous Huxley, A Brave New World, or in the literature of these technocrats, who, by the way, eugenicists, that comes from Nazi Germany, this comes from, way back when. So then you see the picture form, and it makes perfect sense. And then you realize these people are pretty far ahead in their agenda.
Yeah, I think what I was alluding to in my previous question is, how do you navigate the minefield?
How do you navigate the minefield? So I believe that right now this is also a spiritual war, and we are bombarded on the spiritual level to be able to be mind controlled. But we have something in us. It's like, in my view, we are divine human beings. We have a soul, and we have an intuition, and we have a knowingness that something just ain't right. And it is that intuition that comes from within us that they want to hack in and basically quiet down and our connection to the divine and to a greater purpose and to humanity. But basically, you know, this is exactly what protects us. So a Satanist, which is what these people are, is they are endeavoring to lower the vibratory frequency of planet Earth and all of human consciousness to low level, to suffering, torture, you know, just fear, depression, etc. So what is our greatest arsenal and armament is, you know, faith, whatever that is for you, it doesn't matter. If it is about God, you know, so be it. And in terms of love and connection and seeking the truth and then speaking the truth, every time that we do that, we actually emit a frequency that is way above what they are playing with. And literally that eventually that penetrates to the souls of the people around us, and it creates an awakening effect. And eventually people are so awake, say, no way. You know, they can see now. Once you see, you cannot unsee it. And that is the hope for humanity, that we will wake up and we will defeat the few globalists and Satanists who have done this and say, no, you cannot pass.
And don't trust the experts.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I'm an expert, but, you know, in terms of the people that are, you know, criticizing me, they didn't do their own research. I have been looking at the blood and I show people the picture. I'm like, look at it and get your own microscope. Because when you undergo this transformative journey of actually looking for yourself instead of believing what somebody is saying, you know, that's where we failed. And we got, you know, 2/3 of the known world get injected with a biological weapon. So see for yourself, research for yourself, and then it makes sense to you. So, you know, I'm out there and a lot of doctors, they have no idea what I'm talking about. But I, you know, I went and I looked at it for myself.
On a practical level, some of the things that we can do on a daily basis, what are they?
So I had mentioned, number one, the molecules. So vitamin C is so easy. Why is it also so important? So humans don't make it, so you have to take it every day. But it's a chelator. So as soon as you're inhaling these metals that they're spraying, it actually binds to them and you're excreting it through your kidneys out. It's also an electron donor. So we found that the human blood is transformed and starts to clump into these clots is because the technology hijacks electricity. Well, vitamin C gives electricity back, as do other antioxidants. So this kind of a healthy nutrition is very important. The molecules that I mentioned, the EDTA, is noted in 2 Moderna patents as the antidote, together with vitamin C, and the other molecule is malic acid, which is made from apples. Methylene blue is a direct electron donor. It can help with brain fog, anti-aging abilities. So all of these things are helpful. Getting away from your cell phone. Your cell phone, your iPhones are weapon system that are used to surveil you. And so, you know, I got rid of mine and I actually bought a $20 flip phone where you can take the lithium battery out of, and I don't even turn that on because I'm so freaked out about all of this. I got a car that doesn't have GPS, so no AI can take over my car and do an hash on me. And I actually had a cybersecurity expert come to me, and you know, there is 5 different cameras on every single laptop that are LiDAR and radar and infrared that are using facial recognition at all times that people don't even know about. If you take a UV light, you can actually see it shining on you, and you can be manipulated via photonic light to your retina. So learning more about this, getting away from this whole 5G business, be more out in nature, you know, hug a tree, grow your own food, get clean water, all of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that was very noticeable in the COVID era, where they told us to stay indoors and to fear perfectly healthy people. Not once ever did they give us any actual health advice.
Absolutely not. And it was all part of it because sunlight, the reason why also dimming the sun is because it affects us profoundly. The sun is emitting biophotonic light that is highly structured that we're absorbing actually as an energy source and can store in melanin in our skin, meaning it can anti-age us, can rejuvenate us. And so all of these aspects affect our mood, the complex light emissions that we're getting. So I believe that it was all made to make people more fearful, more depressed. As the more emotional you get, the more controllable you are, the more likely you give up your power to like some governmental agency and believe, oh, just take care of me. It's like nonsense. It's like, get away from me.
And if you inside a tunnel and you see a light at the end of it, is that a train coming towards us?
What do you mean? Explain what you're asking.
I'm asking if you're hopeful.
I'm hopeful, you know, because I believe that this is the final battle for this spaceship Earth, that the forces that are enslaving us, I think that David Icke was absolutely correct. You know, this enslavement has been going on for not just centuries, but thousands of years, and that now many humans are waking up. The turmoil that we have to go through and the fight we're in is tremendous, but that fight also connects us with our internal power, our own spirit inside of us that's a warrior that says, I'm not going to give up. I am going to keep fighting. And so that's what I do. I just take one day at a time. You know, I don't believe a whole lot of, you know, the white hats are coming to rescue me or some. I'm going to rescue myself every single day, and I'm going to try to help as much people as I can. And then if good stuff happens, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I suppose another way of asking my question is we're not victims necessarily.
We're not victims, and we are so powerful. When we are waking up and we say no to this and we kick those people in these government places out, and, you know, I'm part of the National American Renaissance Movement. We sent 11 petitions for grand jury petitions for crimes against humanity to get these people investigated for genocide and murder and racketeering. And I'm part, and I'm working with the Costa Rica team also for international courts, crimes against humanity. It's like, heck no, we're not victims. We're going to get them.
You've covered a lot of territory here, and there's a lot to take in. So there isn't really that much more I need to ask, because otherwise I'm going to start forgetting and I'm going to get a bit of brain fog. I think let's come in for a landing here. Let me ask you, how can I find out more?
So the main research page that I have is Anna, A-N-A, Mihalcha, M-I-H-A-L-C-A, mdphd.substack.com.
Yeah, that's where I found some of your work, and it is very extensive.
Yes, it is extensive.
It takes a while.
It takes a while. And sometimes, you know, in a short interview, I'm trying to pack in as much information as I can, but it is mind blowing. So just understand, you know, there's a lot more to it. There's many interviews and people kind of get used to sort of some of the concepts, and then also the documentation of why I'm saying what I'm saying, because it's backed up.
It is a lot to take in. And also let me ask you this. Do you think a lot more people now are awake than, say, in 2020?
I think that it's hard to tell. I believe that the harshness of losing people around them is sort of opening people's eyes. And so, unfortunately, the waking up process is very, very, very painful. You know, if there's a lot of people who've died suddenly, young people, et cetera. So I think that there is more of an acceptance in society. Yes, it's still slow, so we have to keep going. And, you know, events like this definitely help. So I think that all we can do is just keep talking about it until people hear us.
Do you think there's going to be another attempt?
Well, I think that disease X, for example, you know, possible Marburg or hemorrhagic fever, you know, that has a mortality rate between 50% and potentially 80%. So these evildoers, they're getting desperate, the worldwide deep state, because many are waking up, and we need to just do whatever we can. Every single human being has to fight. You have to fight geoengineering because our Earth is dying, you know, it's being poisoned. And so whatever you can contribute, you know, you cannot just sit still and let a handful of people fight for you. We all have to get up and stand up and do it around the world.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please visit supportgerm.com.